I bet Trump's ex-wives are doing cartwheels. That's better than alimony. A stunner on the gobble from the rattlesnake. That's a real hostile takeover.
Oh, my God.
Look, every hair is still in place.
Okay. Are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hi, everybody. This is Eugenie Bondurant. I play Tigress in The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2, and you're listening to The Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Will the soundtrack kindly produce a sound? Go on. Don't be nervous. Go ahead. Any sound? Well, that isn't quite what I had in mind.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Kuntz. Welcome to the show. I hope you're good. I'm well. There's so much going on in the world, isn't there? What a crazy week it's been to be alive in the world. The biggest one of those things, I would say, a lot of people are upset. There's even more people that are ecstatic. And that, of course, is that the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, folks. 1908 to 2016, they finally get it done again. Their last appearance was in 45. They played the Cleveland Indians, and I thought that I had saw that 1945 was a Cleveland Indians last appearance. So then I was thinking, did the Cleveland Indians beat the Chicago Cubs in 45? But then I looked it up, and that wasn't the case. Detroit Tigers played the Cubs in 45. And that was their last appearance, so I think the Indians one must have been 1947. Thank God that Chicago won, because I don't think I could have stood Cleveland fans at that point. The Browns are awful, but if they were to win two major championships in two consecutive years, the Cavs won the NBA Finals the last year, I think everyone would have just went on their front lawn that lived in Cleveland, dumped gasoline on it, threw a match, and just said, it's not going to get any better than this, and just burned it to the ground. David Weingarten's a comic here. He's a big Cleveland fan. I wanted to send him a condolences message, but you won an NBA title, dude. So I'm not sad for you. But he was. I saw him last week. Actually, he came in at Bailey's podcast, and he was, you know, in good spirits. He understands it's the life of being a Cleveland sports fan. But I've never seen so many Chicago Cubs shirts in my life outside of Chicago than I have the past week here in St. Pete. And I was wondering, is it one of those things, like, if you're a baseball fan, like, you kind of have a second team, maybe? I know there's a lot of transplants here. But usually, you know, mostly you see Rays shirts down here. But I'm thinking maybe since they won, they went into the back of their closet and said, yeah, I'm going to represent Chicago this week. Which, you can't blame them. 1908, that's an incredible feat. Man, that's a long drought. I believe it was the longest drought in sports. And they finally broke it, beat the Cleveland Indians. What else has been going on this week? Man, so many things, right? I mean, it's just been wild. You can take a boat, if you want, from St. Petersburg to Tampa and vice versa. A lot of people are happy about that. I've not ridden it yet. I was trying to figure out a way to finagle going to Tampa. But what am I? I don't know what to do in Tampa. I don't even go out here. I was thinking about it the other day. I don't even really explore the town anymore. I feel like I know it backwards and forwards, but that's just not the case. You know, you walk up the same roads all the time. You only know what's on the roads. So, I don't know. I'm sure I'll ride it eventually. Maybe a lightning game? That would probably be the time, because I think it drops you off, like, right at the Channelside District, right near the convention center, I believe. And then, of course, the other news is that Donald Trump is president. of the United States of America. President-elect. I'm a little hungover today, actually, because I stayed up really late and watched it and drank with my friends. And it was a fun time. Who knows what's going to happen, right? Like, people are protesting now. I was just watching before I started recording. There's protests from Socialist Alternative and all these groups protesting him. And, you know, he's a bigot. He's a racist, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I'm excited. I think it's going to be interesting, to say the least. And maybe it'll be good. Just keep your fingers crossed. What president has ever done anything that they said they were going to do? He's not going to get rid of all these people that are here illegally. That heard 10 million. I think it's more like 30 or 40 million, by the way. Think about the manpower that would take to round. It's not going to be people getting rounded up. I heard people say that, you know, he's going to put black people back in chains. How would that work? How, picture that in your mind, how that would work. People are just going to come and be like, oh, yeah, you know, sorry about this, but it's the rule now. Trump's president, and he says, you know, I know we're friends, but it is the law. So I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead and put these chains on, and I own you now. It's just, it's not realistic. It's fear. It's fear. And I get the fear to a certain extent. You know, he's Donald Trump. He was a joke forever. It still is to a lot of people. And to a lot of others, he's their last hope. I think the media really, mainstream media, dropped the ball and thought they knew what America was and had their finger on the pulse. And this just showed, this election last night, that they don't know nothing. I saw a poll from, Huffington Post, and they said that Hillary Clinton had a 98% chance of winning, according to their super updated, cool, new poll for America's. And nope, sorry, didn't happen like that. A lot of the states that I heard, I was watching the pregame. That's what it's kind of like. It was seriously like watching the World Series or something. Just the numbers keep going up. It was like watching a sports game. But he won all these states that I don't think anybody predicted him to win. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Utah. Well, was he supposed to? I don't know. Utah. But a lot of those states there. Florida was, of course, razor thin. I was hoping it was going to be another one of those Decision 2000 type of things where Florida is the crux in the matter. And there's going to be some recount. But no, it went over smoothly. He won. Hillary gave her speech this morning. I saw a little bit of it. I saw President Obama's speech, and it was a good speech. He was, you know, keeping the peace and seems to want a smooth transition and is wishing us the best. And we appreciate it. We know, I think everybody knows that this is people even that voted for him are keeping their fingers crossed and saying, please, please. And that's really all you can do. But don't worry. I mean, my friends were freaking out. Everybody's upset, crying. You know, all this stuff's going to get overturned and, you know, gay marriage is going to be illegal. I don't think that's going to happen. Maybe I'm naive, but I just don't see that taking place. You know, I don't think there's going to be all these Roe versus Wade overturned. That's what people are worried about. I just don't see it. I don't think government has to work hand in hand, and he's not a dictator. And I know that he runs the House and the Senate, too. Now the Republicans run the House and Senate. But Republicans don't like him, either. Keep that in mind. More than, I think, half of them was said never Trump and probably voted for Clinton. So this was a big kick in the teeth to the establishment. I think that's the only way people are keeping their fingers crossed, just because he's, I know he's a rich guy and he's got all these, you know, he's connected, I'm sure. But to the political establishment, he is something brand new that the world has never seen before. So we'll see. I'm hopeful. I'm staying crossing my fingers and saying, please don't screw this up. And I think that's all we can do. And he might just be another guy, too. He might just be another politician and totally renege on all of his promises. They tend to do that. So I wouldn't put that past him either. I'm honestly, I hope just nothing happens. I hope he gets nothing done and we kind of just hang out for the next 4 years. That would be a good president to me. That's what I would like to see. But don't worry, folks. Either way, everything's going to be fine, I think. So I hope you're okay. I saw people really were upset, crying, and I mean, come on. You're overreacting a little bit. But I feel for you. I know it's tough to lose, but you have to learn how to win. You have to learn how to lose. So there we go. Trump's president. Wild time to be alive. Cubs, World Series champs. Wild times. This podcast is brought to you by Truvy Salon and Spa, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, here in St. Petersburg. Call to make an appointment with Chrissy Parker. She does good work. 727-329-9751. And Slybar. Check out slybar.com. Slybar St. Pete on Facebook, 2061 Central Avenue. They got food now. They got their kitchen cranking. They got beers. I heard they might be getting a liquor license. Don't want to speak out of turn there, but that would be cool for them. So check them out. Make sure you keep up with the Facebook page, the HMB radio page. We got my mom's favorite podcast with James Bailey on there, as well as mine, and some more shows that might be coming in the future. I'm looking to add people to the roster, so hopefully soon that will be taking place. Also, there's events, and actually, we do have an event coming up. Now, I'm thinking about a homemade comedy at the Loft, our second comedy show at the Loft, a showcase, and that's going to be on November 18th. That's a Friday. It's from 8 to 10. First hour is a showcase, so I got some really good comics that are going to be opening up. Elijah Henry has been on the show. David Weingarten, Cleveland Zone, and Jonas Presendu is going to be the comics. And then there's going to be an hour open mic right after. So come check it out. It's fun. It's free. Hopefully I'll be able to get some pizza, too, so I can feed you. Work on that this week. And that is at the Loft, 2036 Central Avenue, Studio A. It's a little hard to find, but it's the door right to the left of, what's that art store called? Zebra Art Supply. It's right near Sly Bar, too. It's like almost right across the street and a little more east, just a little bit. But check it out. It's on our HMB radio page under the events tab, homemade comedy at the Loft, 8 to 10, free, free jokes, free laughs, free pizza. So come check us out. It's going to be fun. And, you know, yeah, you keep up with other podcasts. You know, this show, James's, my mom's favorite podcast, facebook.com/HMB Radio. And then the website, HMBRadio.com. If you want to get in touch, you can email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. You can text or leave a voicemail on our line, 813-693-2124. So if you want to do that, that's cool too. So this week on the show, we have Andrew Harlan. He's I believe he's a writer and one of the editors for I Love the Berg, a great publication here based in St. Petersburg. I've had many email conversations with Andrew, but never met him in person. So he's helped us out with promoting comedy events and stuff. So I wanted to get his take. He seems to have his pulse, you know, on what's going on here in St. Pete. So Andrew Harlan will be here shortly. What else? I guess that's it. I guess that's all I got this week. I wrote some stuff down, but I forgot it. So I guess that's it. Check out the website, hmbradio.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in HMB Radio Tampa Bay, and it should pop up. Or even HMB Radio, I think, works too. So thank you for joining us again, and we'll be right back with Andrew Harlan from I Love the Berg. Andrew.
Hello.
Welcome. It's nice to finally meet you in person.
Thank you for having me.
I think I've seen you around a few times walking around the neighborhood, but wasn't sure. And one of my biggest fears is that I'm going to think I know somebody and then be like, hey, and then they're going to be like, that happened to me one time.
Really?
And just after high school. Yeah, you pull that thing up a little bit. There you go. And this dude I sat next to in computer web design class for like a year. And I saw him like a year later after graduation. And I went, hey, Andrew, how's it going? And his name was Andrew, too. And he goes, I believe you're mistaken. I'm like, you're Andrew Pills. I know who you are. And he goes, I don't recall you, pretty much. And I was just like, okay, well, this is awkward. I'm just going to go ahead and leave now. So ever since then, I'm like, I wait for somebody to say hello to me.
I actually, one of my first interviews for I Love the Berg, I was a little bit nervous about going into it because I had never really done a true person-to-person, you know, they have no context for me and I have no context for them. It was Central Oddities, actually, in the Grand Central District.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I just walked around that store for maybe 30 minutes, said nothing to anyone in the store, and then walked out and went back the next day to try and do it again. But I was a little green back then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's not an easy thing to do these interviews. I don't know a lot of these people that come in here. You know, I mean, I might know them from social media or something, but I don't know them as a person. So I don't know how to talk to them or what to talk about. We always manage, of course, but it's challenging. Yeah. So tell me, you're the editor for I Love the Berg?
Yeah, I'm the writer and editor for the website and also the writer and editor of thatsotampa.com.
Which, oh, yeah, those are like sister sites.
Yeah, yeah, we just, Tampa's growing so rapidly, and, you know, a lot of events now are trying to connect both Tampa and St. Petersburg to take advantage of what both offer, and so it just kind of made sense to expand out there.
So do you kind of, like, try to cross-promote them, or?
A little bit. I mean, like, with Cross Bay Ferry happening, that was a story that really... it affected both websites, it affected both cities, and, you know, a lot of, like, Coast Bike Share happening. Because it's so big in Tampa, it just made sense to sort of, you know, use both websites to promote it coming to St. Petersburg through its success in Tampa. But if there's, like, an opening that's big enough or an event that's big enough that I think matters to the Tampa Bay area at large, I want to do my best to get that message out there on both. And, you know, I kind of like having that second platform now.
Right. What came first? Was I Love the Berg came first?
Yeah, I Love the Berg's been around for about 8 years now. I've been with it for a little over 3 years. And That's What Tampa started when I started with I Love the Berg.
How many staff do you have between the two?
I'm the only writer and editor over at iloveTheBerg.com and for That's So Tampa too. But my bosses, Brian Bailey and Dex Fabian, they started I Love the Berg, and, you know, it started out with just, you know, being at a lot of events and covering the stories that a lot of newspapers weren't totally interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of blossomed into, you know, it became like their niche, you know, covering these little spots you may never have known about, finding the hidden gems in the area. And years later, these gems have now kind of become staples in the community. And so, you know, with what I'm doing, I'm trying to continue that.
What does Brian do now? It seems like he just goes and eats lunch. I just see his Instagram, and that's all it is just food that he's eating.
He works like a madman, to be honest with you. I mean, yeah. He's in the office at 6 a.m., and I really don't know when he leaves. He's in meetings a lot. I mean, he's making sure that I Love the Berg can still exist. He finds a lot of stories for me as well. He does help edit the articles. He kind of taught me everything I know about social media as well. I mean, when it comes to covering things on Snapchat or Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook, he's sort of the entire brains of that operation. I'm kind of indebted to him in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, I came from a creative writing and literature background when I started with I Love the Berg. But, you know, after my first week, I realized I didn't really know anything. I think anyone can craft a sentence, but not everyone can make you care about a story.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, especially that's what Brian's really, really great at, is telling a story and making people care.
He got in at a really good time. It was when St. Pete was kind of just on that upswing.
Yeah.
Because it has changed so much. I've been here, I guess, about 5 years, and I could definitely tell a difference even from that. I mean, I just came from Largo, so it really wasn't a big jump. But, I mean, it's exploded down here. I mean, there's so much to cover, and focusing on those local... That's what I want to do with this podcast thing, is focus on, you know, the happenings around here, because it really doesn't get a lot of play from, you know, the Times, they're reporting on the news, so they don't really have the time to do this. Creative Loafing does it a little bit. I don't know what they're doing over there, though, frankly. And then there's I Love the Berg, which is what I go to for just St. Pete.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think we definitely started a really opportune time. I mean, I started at Eckerd College. I transferred in 2011 or 2012. But, you know, going to what the Edge District is now, or hanging out, you know, on the 200 block, I mean, I can't recognize them, you know, half the time. And it's been a lot of fun to actually witness the growth and development of the area and to be, you know, at all a part of it. But I mean, I like, you know, going to Eckerd, we rarely left campus. We didn't really see, you know, point to, we had the beach and all of that, but you know, I kind of immensely regret it as soon as I started to move down here. You know, I mean, I had an apartment over toward the beaches, and then next year moved to an apartment on Coquina Key, and then moved to a place in the old Northeast and sort of bounced around to three apartments here. So I sort of got to see all of St. Pete as it developed. You know, like my haunt used to be the Chataway, and then it became El Cap, and then became Black Crow almost every morning. I think like all my paycheck went there. But yeah, I really don't struggle for content anymore. It's kind of just a wealth of stories happening in St. Pete right now.
Well, St. Pete's huge,
yeah,
too. That's another thing. I mean, yeah, it takes up almost a quarter of the county, almost.
Yeah.
I mean, so does I Love the Burg? It seems like it's more focused on the downtown area. But do you go out beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, like this week, I did a short story on Derek Donnelly's new art studio, which is going out in Pinellas Park, like their little arts village that they've sort of cultivated there.
Right, yeah.
But a little over a year ago, they took a bunch of shipping containers and turned them into this gorgeous studio. But you see a lot of that. I mean, even like South St. Pete, I was with the guys at True Fire, and they were building out an old boxing gym, and they're turning it into new music studios there.
Cool.
And they're, you know, going to bring a lot of national acts there. So, I mean, as the city expands and as, you know, more options sort of grow beyond just this downtown area, we're looking to, you know, expand our coverage. I mean, the other month I just did a video on Earth Fair, which was opening up in Seminole. So, you know, I'm happy to expand it. I really like going to South St. Pete especially. I remember meeting with the Bray Boys about a year ago when they were doing Chief's Creole Cafe, and how they inspired an entire movement in the Deuces district, where I went to Elma's cafe the other morning just to get like an egg sandwich or whatever. But they've really sparked something huge in South St. Pete. And so I'm happy that now the stories that I'm getting are coming from well beyond this downtown area.
So how do you get your stories? I mean, you can't be everywhere at once. I mean, I would imagine just people be like, hey, you know what I got? So is it mostly friends or just people telling you about something that's going on?
I mean, It's a little bit of everything. I mean, I remember there's one story, like I found out about Craft Cafe, which has become my favorite restaurant.
That's up on Central, like way up there. Yeah.
Basically,
Bistro is up there too.
Yeah. And I found out about them because somebody had Instaburged a photo from it, and they're like, this new gluten-free restaurant's amazing. Why has no one talked about it yet? And so I immediately drove out there to find out what that was. So it's a mix of people share stuff on Instagram. We'll get emails from business owners who say, you know, hey, we're coming to the area. We'd love to get some coverage and tell you our story. I remember for That's So Tampa, Mini Donut Factory had reached out to me before they opened. And so, like, that was one of my first real stories for That's So Tampa. And then there's, you know, I'll just be driving around and I'll see a coming soon sign and I'll immediately stop and creepily, you know, knock on the window or try to see if there's a number available. And then there's stories, you know, I mean, Brian's been in this area for so long, knows so many people.
He's an ambassador at this point.
Yeah, I know.
That's another guy that I know who he is, but I don't want to approach him.
And he's always, he's got a meeting or something, but, you know, it's because of that, because he's, like you said, he's become an ambassador to St. Petersburg, that people approach him initially and they're like, you know, I have this new place opening, but I don't want to just have the normal coverage of, oh, such and such is coming here. Like, how do I really get my message out? Which is what has sort of evolved our storytelling to more videos and figuring out how we can use Snapchat to tell stories around town and get event coverage and all of that.
So how many stories are you pumping out a day? I mean, are you doing That's So Tampa as well?
Yeah. It fluctuates depending on what's happening. I mean, Monday I wrote 4 articles and did the what to do list. And today it was 2 articles and a video. And that's usually like depending on the amount of editing I have to do will sort of dictate how much I can get out.
Right.
Minimum though, it's 1 a day on each site.
Would you take interns if people wanted to intern?
Yeah, I've had a few amazing interns actually. I just had a Tamiracle Williams from USF St. Pete. She was probably one of the best I've ever had. I mean, I think I gave her like two instructions and she just kind of killed it. I've had Paige Kesselman from Eckerd College. She also, you know, killed it to the point where she went through the list of like duties I was going to have her cover for maybe like a month. She did it in a week. Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot of help there, and they help a lot with, you know, curating the events list, cleaning up the happy hour list, because a lot of people email me every week and let me know that I have the times wrong or something.
Yeah.
So the interns are always really helpful in, you know, fixing those. And I'm always looking also for, you know, editorial interns. We've had, you know, a few that help me, you know, sort of cover stories that I might not always have the time to cover, you know, whether it's a big event or a new exhibit, a gallery that I think is really worth the time to cover, but I just don't have it. You know, because I have to go out and do interviews, or I have to, you know, finish creating a video, or, you know, if I'm meeting with one of our sponsors or something like that.
So how long's your day? Like, are you working 12-hour days?
It can be pretty long, but it's fun, you know, a lot of days, because, you know, I'm going out, I have to go do an interview, or I, you know, I have to go get some footage, and, you know, sometimes that footage is on Pasagril Beach, and I'm more than happy to, you know, put in a few overtime hours there. I usually wake up and I'll try to write, or at least get the draft of an article done before I get to the office, just to, you know, ease that. Cause I'm usually up by like 4 or 5 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, I try to get out of the office by 5:30. But if I still have extra stuff to do, cause, you know, I'm always tweeting, or I'm always, you know, putting stuff on Instagram. I try Snapchat, but I'm terrible at it.
Yeah.
Our graphic designer, she kind of kills it there, and I don't want to mess up with the aesthetic she's created for us.
There's a way. I know that publications make these little story things,
yeah,
but I don't know how to go about doing that at all.
Yeah, and there's for a few of like the premier like big guys in the publishing and pop culture industry, I think they were like the first to get those sort of Snapchat specific.
Oh, so they have the Snapchat has to reach out to.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think they just gave one to Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake, just got a Snapchat channel, and it's specifically for songs they're covering. And that's the only place you can hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. Snapchat's weird. I do enjoy Snapchat. I hated it initially. Yeah. I thought it was dumb, but then the filters came along and a picture is worth 1,000 words. And it's a lot of fun.
I just like, can't wait for the day when Vine becomes the thing that hipsters say they miss the most, because I want to be that.
Yeah. I did the Vine thing for a while. It kind of just fell off. I don't really know what happened. But we had a lot of fun just doing. What I liked about, I wish Snapchat would do, is pause. So you take your finger off and it pauses and you can go back. So kind of make it like Vine. And I wonder now that Vine's dead, if maybe they'll work on that or something. I don't know if there's some sort of, you know, what do you call it? When you get those copyrights, patent type things.
On the Cross Bay Ferry, though, I remember a lot of the news people, like reporters on there, were like going on their Snapchat to bring people to their like news station or something like that. They're like, I'm on the Cross Bay Ferry, tune in at 7 p.m. tonight to see the rest and stuff like that. And I know from what I've heard, a lot more people are sort of under pressure to sort of adapt to the new form of storytelling.
Well, there's always something new.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like, although it seems like it's slowed down, I had this idea and then it got made and I was super upset. But it was Twitter, but instead of typing, you record 15 seconds of audio. And then there was this brand that Helio, that started it and didn't do anything. And I was like, dang. But I think Twitter should do that. That would be cool if they had like a little voice record button instead of, you know, 10 seconds or something.
I would love. I mean, I'm kind of obsessed with Twitter, so
I'd
be happy for them to update anything I hear.
I got to stop with the Twitter. It's gonna get me in trouble.
Oh, I know. I mean, because you do a lot of stand-up comedy. I know a lot of stand-up comedians have sort of found that's. I don't know if it's like a place to work on, you know, bits that you're doing, or like work on like a clean, you know, 15 or 30. But
it's great. I think it's the most useful tool for comics. But comics are so afraid of getting their stuff stolen, and I've seen it happen. I mean, Matt Fernandez had it happen to him. The fat Jew guy, that account, stole one of his bits.
Are you serious?
And cropped his name out and put it up there. And I've had, when we did the Creative Loafing showcase last year, or 2 years ago now, I bought a videographer in and got him recorded, and I had the sound go into the mixer, and it goes into the camera, and it was really nice, and I was going to make them all. What I wanted to do was put it out for free on YouTube, and just to showcase what Tampa's got, you know? And then I said, hey, I got your videos. And no, I don't want them. What? What do you mean? It'd be good for you to have, right? Yeah, I don't want it out there, though. I don't want anybody to steal my stuff. But I'm like, if it's out there and it's time-stamped, if someone did steal it, you would kind of have proof. And eventually, you got to let it go. I mean, it has to be heard and seen. But it's amazing, especially the local guys are so concerned about it.
I remember when I saw Tig Notaro was at the side door at the Palladium, you know, and for any comedy show I've been to, a lot of the, you know, they're, you know, please don't record or anything. You know, I'm working on a special. I think she was headed to Boston to do it. If I remember, like, three people throughout the night took out their phone to try to record her, and she stopped. And I feel like a lot of people don't get that if you're trying to tour an act and you want to actually make a special out of it, you know, people aren't going to go to your show if they can just go see it on YouTube. So I know, like...
Yeah, I totally understand that. Yeah. And I guess for a lot of these, you know, folks that they're maybe just starting out, you know what I mean? And then if they... Because Matt told me, I don't want to give you my stuff. I was like, well, it's not mine. I'm not going to have it. But I, you know, I get it, and then I don't. I just feel like musicians will do this too, where they hoard something and they'll keep tweaking and keep working on it. I'm like, you just got to let it out. Just let it go. I know it's tough. It's your baby. I get it. But somebody's got to hear it at some point.
Well, that's actually good. I was always curious about the growth of the stand-up comedy scene in St. Petersburg. Because I think it was you and Shannon, right?
Yeah.
Had sort of started the Sly Bar stand-up show together. I mean, yep. So how, like, did you have a core group of comedians in the area, or is it just sort of grown since you started the open mics?
I had the idea to start the open mic to supplement the podcast so I could get this banner out there and, yep, you know, hopefully tell other people about it. I've always been a fan of comedy. I used to do it when I was younger. I started when I was 18. And then kind of just went to college and forgot about it. But I love comedy, so I just decided to start a mic. There was no comedy events happening down here. Well, Bula was going on, yeah, but I think they were the only other person doing something. So that's how kind of it started, and, you know, I just put it out there and let people know about it, and soon enough people were flooding in. But I think what killed Sly Bar was they got food, they got the kitchen, and then because we used to do it up top, up above the... where the kitchen is now. And then we had to do it. We got shoved off into the side corner, and it just was a weird vibe because nobody wanted to sit right next to the stage, and that's all when it started to go downhill. So we had the two-year anniversary in August, and then the next day they were like, yeah, we're gonna axe this thing. But I got some other stuff in the works, you know, maybe Paradise Brewing at the beginning of the year, so that would be cool.
And I guess you're doing the loft now too, right?
Doing the loft, yep. Our second one is the 18th next week.
Oh, awesome.
So that should be good. The first one was really fun. The loft is hard to find, I think, but, you know, it was a good turnout last time, and it was a really fun show. So hopefully I can, you know, keep going here. Losing Sly Bar was devastating because that was just like a staple of my life for 2 years. But, and then Yard of Ale got the axe because Thursday Night Football. Supposedly that's going to come back after the new year. So we'll see. But yeah, I want to be an ambassador for comedy in the area for sure.
And is the comedy scene sort of grown too in Tampa? I know they have like the Cigar City comedy guys. So do you sort of work with them too?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cigar City has kind of taken a step back because the guys having babies now. They have, you know, Law Smith is like the head guy there. He's got his own company now that he's trying to get out there with. I mean, they still work under the name, but Tampa and St. Pete are totally separate. It's really bizarre. Not a lot of Tampa people come to St. Pete. Not a lot of people in Pinellas County go out to Tampa necessarily. I mean, a lot of them go out to Tampa because you have the improv there, but it's hard to get Tampa people. There's people I haven't even met, and I've been doing this for a long time. So yeah, it's this weird separation between the two cities. And I don't know, maybe the ferry will fix that. I don't know.
Let's hope so.
I hope so. But yeah, it's a weird, weird scene, man. So tell me, what's been like the most exciting thing about St. Pete in this year that you were excited about or you covered?
Well, this is totally biased, but I'm really excited to have Craft Cafe downtown, that sort of made my life when Teddy over at Craft Cafe first told me. And so I couldn't wait for that to happen. I'm really excited to see what they do at the Manhattan Casino. I know Kanika Tomlin and Rick Kreisman had announced that they were, you know, putting out the forms, see, you know, submit who's going to come take in here.
Spot, yeah.
You know, part of me was hoping to see the Carter G. Woodson Museum possibly find a home there just because they have such fabulous exhibits. They did a protest poetry night, which was one of the most powerful, you know, events I've ever attended. But, you know, I'm just excited for anything to go in there. I think it's a great spot, and any piece of development in South St. Pete is good by me.
Yeah. Andrew Harlan from I Love the Berg is on the homemade broadcast this week. What do you see for the future of St. Pete? Are you optimistic? Because I've talked to a lot of people who are not very optimistic. Well, mostly the painters and artists.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. The old Northeast was getting, you know, so, you know, expensive. You know, my fiance and I wound up, you know, moving. You know, I've moved once a year every year since 2011. Yeah. But I also, you know, see a lot of fantastic entrepreneurs coming in here, carving out a spot for themselves. I think we have officials in place that are extremely committed to making sure the creative people that have made this city worth visiting will always have a home here. I know, you know, someone like Frank Wells has worked tirelessly to, you know, bring the Venture House concept to St. Petersburg to provide a space for artists. Have like Maureen McDowell over at Keep St. Pete Lit, who, you know, works harder than anyone I've ever met to, you know, bring these literary events to St. Petersburg and once again provide a platform for writers, for poets, for painters, for anyone who has a creative bone in their body to express their work and to carve out a place for themselves in St. Petersburg. I see the art scene growing immensely. I mean, obviously, you know, Shine Mural Fest has really brought a lot of national attention down here. And I just, you know, I hope that, I think a lot of people get discouraged when they see a lot of the, you know, the quote unquote high rises going up in downtown. They see a lot of the expensive condo units, or they advertise these are apartments for millennials, but I have no idea what millennial makes that much.
Yeah. Who's going to live in these things? And there's so many being built. What is there, like six under construction right now?
Yeah, there's I know St. Pete Rising has a really great like interactive map out there that shows you like every single development happening and where it's at right now. I think I lost count, to be honest with you. I want to stay optimistic, and I want to say that these spots will find their tenants, and while we bring more people down here, we won't run out of room for the people that really made St. Pete the place that it is. I know, like, over, you know, from what I experienced at Eckerd College, you know, we have professors like, you know, Scott Ward, who's writing a Civil War epic poem, and I don't even know anyone who still writes epic poetry, you know. We have, you know, short story writers like, you know, John Chopin, who are writing these beautiful, gritty Northeastern stories, and sort of bringing, you know, his craft to St. Petersburg has been amazing. You know, you guys have like Dennis Lehane, who's, you know, the godfather of, you know, literature in the St. Petersburg area, and he's written, you know, Mystic River and Shutter Island, Live by Night.
That guy lives here?
He used to. Now he's he used to have a place up in the Northeast and down here. Now I think he's off in the West Coast because he's been doing so well. Mm-hmm. I think he's writing for Boardwalk Empire or something like that.
Oh, right on.
But, you know, I think that as long as the people in charge in St. Petersburg don't lose sight of what has made this city so exceptional in the first place, I think that it's going in the right direction.
I think St. Pete's special because our community works together. We seem to want everybody to succeed. That's the vibe I get for the most part. Why do you think that is? What makes this area just a community, a real community?
I think it, as you had said before, you know, that this area has changed so much in the last few years. And I think a lot of the people that were a part of the beginning of that, you know, growth, recognize that it's something special. And I think they want to foster and nurture that growth. And they realize that cutthroat competition, you know, trying to sort of bat away anyone else who has a similar idea to you would probably have a negative effect on, you know, the vibe of this city. I was interviewing the guys over at St. Pete Brewing Company before they first opened, and they were telling me that a few of the other brewers in the area who already opened were helping them move in and helping them get set up. And, you know, the point of them wasn't like that the Brewers didn't want to be the destination, you know, a craft beer lover went to, that they would create an entire craft beer trail.
Right.
That this would be a place where you'd sample tons of different flavors, and that, you know, each one of them could learn something from the other and, you know, how to make a better product. So I think we have a bit of healthy competition down here, obviously. I mean, we have so many restaurants, so many coffee shops, so many music venues, so many bars, that there is that sense of, you know, they, each one wants to be the staple spot in St. Petersburg. But I think that amount of competition has created something kind of wonderful where everyone is, you know, operating on like this A-plus level.
Favorite place to get a beer in St. Pete?
That's such a lame answer because, I'm gluten-free, so I'm limited.
Oh, bummer.
But Vicky over at the Ale and the Witch is amazing and introduced me to Omission and Gluttony. So those are two pretty great gluten-free beers. So I'd say the Ale and the Witch is probably my go-to spot.
Favorite record store in St. Pete?
I'd probably have to go with Daddy Cool Records. He said I picked up a really awesome old Paul Simon vinyl there. So I have fond memories. Plus, it's like right next to my office, so I get to walk by it every day. So just by association, I've grown really fond of it.
Favorite place besides Craft Cafe for food?
Bodega. I live off Maduro's.
Yeah, Bodega is really... I haven't been there in a long time, actually, now I'm thinking about... You know what happens with me? I forget all the stuff. Like, I'll be looking for something to eat. I don't know. I'll just go to Chipotle. And then I'll be driving or, you know, walking downtown. I'm like, oh, I wanted to try this place. There's so much that it kind of gets lost in the mist. You know what I mean? Where can I get more informed about this? But I guess just go to I Love the Berg. Do you have like a restaurant section or anything like that?
I think like almost 70% of my new articles are about new restaurants at this point. But yeah, I mean, you can go on iLoveTheBerg.com, and if you go to like the just like the Berg specific section, you'll see sort of tons of new features on restaurants that are around that you should check out. Or you can always do the what to do list, since most of the restaurants have either deals or events going on the weekends at this point, that they're usually listed there and you should be able to find a good list.
Yeah, it seems like when some new opens, something else closes and it's a mess, but I guess that's the way it is everywhere. So what's the future for I Love the Berg? And I'll let you get out of here. What do you see that publication doing? Maybe a hard print at some point?
Maybe we'd sort of bounced around a few ideas of maybe doing like a biannual type, you know, printed edition where it was a few kind of select stories, a look at one. As my favorite sort of series of articles I've done is the Hidden Gems article, or not the Hidden Gems, the originals, the ones that have sort of been here forever, you know, before the New York Times said we were one of the 52 places to visit in the world. But we had discussed that. I mean, the big thing right now is video, sort of changing, which, you know, I had a pretty big learning curve going into it. You know, I'd never really dealt with video editing or filming or anything like that. I think the first one I did, I realized that I had the volume off the whole time. Oh, so God. I had to go back and say, so I know I wasted your time already, but would you mind repeating everything one more time? But yeah, so, I mean, we've really sort of shifted that way. I mean, you know, I've also changed up and used Instagram stories to, you know, morph. So it's sort of like 24/7 storytelling, you know, so it's not just this new place open. It's this new place opened. Here's what you can get here. Here's us, you know, visiting it. And here's where to go after. Here's what's in proximity to it. So, I mean, a lot of it, I mean, you've probably seen it now. I mean, everyone's going on Facebook Live now, too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's become such a huge part. It seems like Facebook just wants to devour television. Mm-hmm.
Good.
So, I mean, we've also tried... We started Berg Live segments where we interviewed Kanika Tomlin a couple weeks ago. Then we were live from the St. Pete Wine and Food Festival and sort of talking with them about that. So we've started a lot of sort of video programming, both live and, you know, kind of going back and editing it. You know, I just did with the High Speed Ferry, I did, you know, St. Pete, Tampa and back in under 60 seconds. So I think, you know, at the start of it, you know, you're starting like years ago, it was like maybe minimum 800 word articles. And then people weren't reading past maybe 300 words. And now it seems that the audience really appreciates more visual storytelling, and I Love the Berg's trying to accommodate that. And
people are lazy. Yeah, they don't want to read. They're, social media is the way wave of the future. Well, I guess it's wave of now. But Andrew, thank you for coming in. It was nice to meet you. Do you have social media plugs?
Oh, yeah. You can follow us. I guess if you want to know where to eat, if you go to at I Love the Berg on Instagram and on Twitter, I think everyone in the office will usually be posting from restaurants, so you'll think we're at 7 different spots in one night. Mm-hmm. But we offer a variety of options there. Yeah, you can follow us at I Love the Berg on Snapchat as well. And if you're at all curious, you know, please don't kill me, St. Pete residents, but if you're at all curious about what's happening in Tampa, you can also follow That's So Tampa. It's just at That's So Tampa on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
Cool. Very interesting feeds to follow. Andrew, thanks again, man.
Thank you.